Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
We continue our sermon series during the month of February called Love and Lives, and this is part three. Last week we talked about temptation. Today we're going to be talking about the roles that we play. So as you know, Friday was Valentine's Day, and everyone posts things on social media as if everything's perfect in love. But there is a family I saw in our church, Damien and Yvette. Look at this, way back in the day. Come on, one of our deacons. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful. But part of the reason why we are sharing this kind of this sermon series called Love and Lies, because I heard a statistic that half of what's on social media is actually not true. Either there's a filter or someone's presenting themselves in a certain way that's not accurate. And so we are surrounded by what we would call lies or half-truths. And so this message is about love and lies. Matter of fact, I saw something else on social media. Here's reality. Relaxing after winning an argument with my wife. I don't know if you can see the man's in the driveway right there. So not everything is perfect. Not everything is good. The Bible teaches us that God is love and he is true. But let's look back, and we had an emphasis on Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and 3 in the Bible. Let's look back and see how God originally intended for family and life and marriage and intimacy to be, how God originally created it. Let's look at Genesis 2, verse 4 through 7. This is an account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up. For the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The man became a living being. So this is how God made a man. Now we're going to see how God made a woman. The Lord God said, "It's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man. And he brought her to the man. This is actually a song that Adam sang to his, now I guess his wife, to Eve. The man said, "This is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of a man." I want to just teach you three quick theological words that will help you to understand a little bit more about God. Maybe you could help me just by repeating them. The first one is called omnipotent. Say that, omnipotent. That means God is all powerful. Omnipresent. Say omnipresent. Omnipresent. Omnipresent mean that God is everywhere. He is spirit and he is everywhere. The word I want to focus on today to help us to understand God and creation and humanity is the word omniscient. Say that word, omniscient. Omniscient means God is all-knowing. He knows all things. So this is what I would like to share with you this morning. First, God wants what is best for your life. Let me say that again. God wants what is best for your life because God knows everything. He knows the beginning and the end, and he can speak into your life because he's been at the beginning and the end. Even though there's no beginning with God, God has always been. God did create the world. In the book of Job, God is having a conversation with Job about life and how it was created. He said this. God said this to Job, "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footing set? Or who laid its cornerstone? God was saying, basically, I created the world. Even before you were born, everyone in this room, God created the world, and he knows everything. He knows everything about us individually. The Bible says that God knows how many hairs are on our head. For some people, that's really easy for God. Like Pastor Christian, that's not a big deal at all. But for the rest of us, God knows every detail about our life. So I don't know how old you are, but every person in this room, like I'm 47, you should add 9 months to how old you are. Because life, the Bible starts in the womb, and God formed you in the womb for 9 months. God's hand was upon, life begins at conception, and God is working inside of the womb. Even if you don't remember it, God was working in your life. All I remember, I was really close to my mom. The temperature was perfect, 72 degrees. The shelter was amazing. Man, all the food was provided. No bills, come on, somebody. No stress. Those were the best 9 months of my life. It was good. God was doing something, whether you know it or not, in those 9 months. Maybe you were a preemie, maybe you came out at 8 months or whatever, but look what the Bible says about your life in the womb. Psalm 139, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. You know, we have these advantages today because of science, but you can go back and see what's happening in month one, month two. There's little fingers, the heartbeat, the body is formed. You say, who's doing that? God is doing that. All the days ordained for me were written in the book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. God is omniscient. And even though you don't remember those 9 months, you probably don't remember the first couple years, God does. And he knows what's best for us, for he is the creator. He is good. Everything he does is good. As it relates to you, God values you. Let me just say this again. There's no mistake in this room. God loves every single person. Even if your mom or your dad, they betrayed you. Even if things are falling apart for you, God has great value. You are important. God cares about you, and he loves you. The Bible says God is love. And in the world that we live in, there is no absolute truth anymore. Matter of fact, the definition in the dictionary is truth is actually absolute truth, and God is truth. But most people, especially young people coming up, who are you to tell me my truth? But truth is really found in the scriptures. God has written the scriptures for our lives so we can understand God and ourselves. I left my cell phone there. If you could just maybe throw that. It's under there. Thank you. So I used to read the Bible like a printed Bible, but my eyes have gone bad. So now I read the Bible on a Bible app. Anybody else? A Bible app. Even right now. It helps me to see. When I need truth, you know where I go? Absolute truth? It's got to be in God's Word. God's Word is absolute truth for your life. You say, well, why? Because you can't trust yourself. You would have to kind of go back and have a full understanding, but God has written it down. Matter of fact, God's Word is God's will for your life. In the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done in my life. God wants the very best for your life. Now, let me just explain it like this. God has commands for us. Matter of fact, the Bible really hangs on two commands. Love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. America has tons of laws. People fight about all the different laws of the land. God has two. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It gets a little deeper than that. God has 10 commands, And his commands are good for us. If you follow the Lord's direction and commands for your life, he knows better. Look what it says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. They're not hard. I'll give you an example. God says, thou shalt not steal. So maybe you make $1,000 a week. Men in this room, you go work with your hands, you hit a hammer, spackle, you sit behind a cubicle, whatever you do, you make $1,000 a week. And you come home, your wife says, you know what, I want to have people over this summer, can you go to Home Depot and buy one of those backpacks, and you kind of blow out the back porch. You say, sure, honey. You go to Home Depot, hot air backpack costs $300. You live right next door to me. I don't care about God. I don't care about the laws. You left your shed open. I go to your shed and I take it. You say, well, you're stealing. Nope, I don't have any laws. I do what I want to do. We have a problem. You're not happy with me. You just worked hard. You just made $1,000 that week. I don't care about. There's a reason why God has commands. You know why he says do not? It protects you and it also protects me from getting beat up. Why does God say don't lie? Why does God say thou shalt not lie? Is it so you don't get caught? Or you say, I don't lie because God is truth. All of God's commands reflect his nature and his character. Why does God say be faithful? Don't cheat on your spouse. Do not commit adultery. Why does he say that? Because God is faithful. Why does God teach you 6 days you should work and on the seventh day rest? Because God knows you. God knows you. He knows what you need. He knows that if you work 6 days, you need 1 day to recuperate, recover. You'll actually work better on 6 days than working 7 days. You know who does that? Chick-fil-A. God's kitchen. Come on, somebody. God's kitchen. Right? I know it's kind of controversial sometimes, but they're actually blessed by God. People love Chick-fil-A. I love Chick-fil-A. Come on, somebody. Those waffle fries. I eat them before I get home, somebody. But I just want to tell you, God wants best for your life. When he is talking about the Bible and the scriptures, they're not to take away your joy. The word of God gives you deliverance. He gives you truth. And when people have truth, it sets them free. If you don't know, if you say, I'm just going to function, I'm going to do what I want, and live however I want, you're actually going to wind up getting hurt. You're going to get sick. You're going to have problems come on your life. The word of God is the will of God for your life. And God always wants the best for your life, whether you know that or not. He's omniscient. He sees the beginning and the end, and you can trust him. There's a second thing I'd like you to see. God wants you to have joy and contentment in his divine role for your life. God wants you to have contentment in your life and joy in what God asks you to do. John chapter 10, this is what Satan wants to do. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you have life and have it to the full. God wants you to have a full, authentic expression true to God. You know the word hypocrite, you know where that really comes from? It comes from the word actor. An actor puts on a face and it's not really their own life. A hypocrite is someone who's not authentically themselves. You know what most people say about Marlton Assembly of God? And it's part of it's maybe me, it's part of it's us as a staff. You guys are real people, right? We're just real, good or bad. We're just real. God wants you to have real joy and peace in how he has made you individually to be. Now, let me explain it from a church point of view, the role that I'm in, and then I'm going to talk to you really quickly about marriage, family, sexuality, and God's best for you and the roles that God has put in the Bible for our life. First, I'm going to talk to you about the church. This is the world that I work in, I live in. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about the church. Watch this. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. The Bible says that God has in his church leaders, and they're very distinct leaders. There's pastors, there's missionaries, that's apostles, and evangelists. This church has an evangelist. His name's Pastor Jamel. Would you agree with me? He's an evangelist. If you ever seen an evangelist, he's an evangelist. So this is our story. Pastor Jamel was dropped off on my doorstep in Newark, New Jersey, and I personally discipled him. He became our youth pastor. When I came down to Marlton 13 years ago, Pastor Jamel became the senior pastor of Valesburg Assembly of God. As he developed his life and ministry, as he matured, I noticed something about Jamel. He really wasn't working in his greatest gifts. Jamel was being asked. People would call him, can you come preach at my church? And so Jamel kept preaching out. 3 summers ago, Jamel preached 11 out of 13 weeks during the summer outside of his church. I said, Jamel, are you there or are you not there? He goes, PG, I don't know what it is. People just call me. I love it. I said, Jamel, I don't think God's called you to be a pastor. I think God has called you to be an evangelist. I said, why don't you come down here, come on staff. You can go preach, go crazy. He goes crazy. And you can be an evangelist. Jamel is an evangelist. When he found that role, boy, he came alive. A couple weeks ago, he sat across the desk. He goes, if I never have to be a senior pastor again, I'm so happy. When you find your place in the body of Christ, there's no greater satisfaction and desire. It just will fill your heart up. But most people, they're just kind of trying to find themselves. What's my purpose on life? Where do I fit in? What do I do? Where do I belong? Who am I? And they walk around with this insecurity, not knowing themselves, and God never intended it. God wants you to have great joy and satisfaction. Let me speak to the educators. You know how this goes. So let's say a school teacher's doing great with the kids, all the parents love them, PTA and all this stuff. The teacher's shining in the classroom. Generally what will happen is a teacher, they'll elevate her, give her a, and they'll make her an administrator or make him an administrator. That always doesn't work. The role of the administrator is completely different than the role of the teacher in the classroom. You need to know what your role is. This is also true in sports. I'm 6 foot. Some of you guys have played sports. Have you ever played sports with someone really, really tall, like basketball, with like someone like 7 foot? Have you, like just someone who's like a giant? I get so frustrated. The 7-footer wants to be way out there shooting 3-pointers. Have you ever noticed? Dude, get down there, get some rebounds, and do that. What happens is people get in the wrong spots. There's no greater sports to talk specific roles than football. No, because everyone has a role. The quarterback has a role, the wide receiver, the kicker. The kicker's barely on the team, you know? No one even wants to be with them. The kicker, everyone has a role. But could you imagine DeSean Jackson? He's one of the Eagles' better wide receivers. He's getting a little older. But his job, really, is stay over here. He looks at the referee to make sure he's behind the line. And what his job really is to do is just run faster than the other guy and try to catch the ball. That's his job. But could you imagine if DeSean Jackson went to the head coach and said, hey, coach, can I be an offensive lineman? Think about it. If he would line up on the line, hand on the ground, and there's a big guy, a big meat head, 300 pounds. He could run a 4.5. He would run over DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson would get hurt. And Carson Wentz, they just committed over $100 million. Carson Wentz would get hurt. That's what happens when people don't know their spot. People get hurt, the team doesn't win, and there's not satisfaction. All of a sudden, someone's getting fired, the manager, the owner, nobody's happy. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, when everyone knows their roles, it works and people win. Let me tell you how God created it. In the beginning, before sin came into the world, God created a man and a woman to be married together. Inside of that nuclear family, by the way, God created the nuclear family. Inside of that would be children. Inside of a mom and a dad, inside of that would be safety, protection, joy, and people would have their roles. And I think at some point in your life, you just have to accept it. This is who I am. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is who I am. I'm 47 years old. receding hairline. If you look carefully, my arms are extremely long. I am a knuckle draggler. But this is the way God made me. This is my role, and I like it. This is just the way God made me. My skin color, my height, my body type, whatever God gives you, that's the way God has created you to be. And what a joy it is just to be how God wants you to be. So I'm a girl dad. I have three daughters. So people would often, when I was younger, they'd say, you want to have a boy? And I was like, well, I just want whatever God gives me. So the first girl came, second. I'm so happy to be a dad of girls. Love it. It's the gift that God gave me. I can't shake my hand at God and say, God, why did I love my kids? I love what God gives, and I'm happy and joyful inside of it. But most people are always fighting that their life isn't right. At some point, you just have to absorb and say, God, this is your divine plan for my life. This is my role, and I'm going to absorb it, and I'm going to enjoy it. So I have a daughter now that's getting married, May 25th. May 25th, Memorial Day. So this past Thursday, I met the future, my daughter's in-laws. I'm like, oh boy. You know what? Really nice people. Now I am going to have a son-in-law. That sounds weird, but you know what? I'm embracing it. I enjoyed my 20s. Thank you, God, for my 20s. I enjoyed my 30s. Thank God for the 30s. I'm enjoying my 40s, and when I go into my 50s, I'm not going to rebel against that. I'm going to enjoy that. When I hit 60, if I'm grandpa, I'll be grandpa. And then when I die, I go to heaven, and I'm going to enjoy that. At some point, you just got to take what God gives you and look at it as a blessing and not fight it. Enjoy the role. I haven't always been a pastor. There's going to be a day I'm not going to be a pastor. Sometimes pastoring is not fun, but this is what God's called me to. I'm going to do my very best of it. If God calls me to be a missionary, I'll be a missionary. If God calls me just to serve in the local church, I'll do that. Whatever God calls you to do, when you find what God's called you to do in God's will, there's peace and joy. Have you ever stepped out of God's perfect will? Oh man, you're miserable. Have you ever started sinning and God begins to convict you? And that feeling is the worst. But when God brings you back in, he washes with you with the blood, he covers over you, and there's grace. Amen? Amen. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not upset. I'm not angry. I don't believe in bullying. I'm not frustrated. But if you don't know the roles that God has called you to live in, the world will tell you the different roles. In the culture we live in, you can marry anybody or whatever, but they will establish roles. In homosexuality, there's roles. There's one who will be the dominant one, and there'll be one who will be the lesser. So even in homosexuality, there would be roles. But in God's providence, he doesn't want you to be over anybody or under anybody. He wants you to have healthy relationships in marriage, in sexuality, and in family. And God wants you to have a proper roles in your life. You say, well, John, it looks like two people love one another. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, verse 12, it says this. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. The culture all around us is trying to tell us what is right and wrong. There's no absolute truth, but ladies and gentlemen, we do have the scriptures. It's absolute truth. I don't think people should be abused. I don't think people should be bullied or anything like that, but we need to know what is the truth. Dwayne Wade, all this weekend, he was declaring he has a 13-year-old son. He now calls his son his daughter. She has transitioned. And he says, by age 3, we knew something. He goes, her truth is that she's now a girl. I didn't mean to argue with Dwayne Wade, but there's no science behind that or anything like that. Dwayne Wade, you could say it and say it and say it, but he's still a boy. He's still a boy. There's nothing you could do to change it. But in our world, in our culture, there is now 17 different sexual identities. And God loves every single person. But the big one now is this, questioning. We have a whole generation that's going, who am I? Who am I? That's the wrong question. This is what people are saying right here. It should be not what are you, but who are you? God wants people to know who they really are. And God loves people. He cares deeply about people. And each of us has a role to play in God's sovereign plan. And we need God to do something wonderful in our hearts. Let God be true and every person a liar. Here's point number three. And you say, well, what should we do about this? Well, let me just tell you, you're in the most liberal state right now in America. Your kids are being educated at age 5, 6, 7 about all these things. The world demands it. You know what the church does? We sit back because we don't want to offend everybody because we know there's people in our lives and struggle. You say, I don't want to be judgmental. I don't want people to think. No one's asking anybody. But for us not to know the truth, truth sets people free. Love always rejoices with the truth. If you have real love in your heart, then you have to tell the truth. Here's number three. God wants you to have a stronger relationship with God. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that our church will be a traction pull for every sinner in this community. I don't care what people do. I want to reach everybody for Jesus. Whoever you have neighbor, you say, I have a bunch of friends, they just curse. Bring them to church. I have a bunch of thieves. Bring them to church. I have a bunch of people, their minds are warped. Bring them to church. Bring everybody to church. Share the message. Bring love, bring truth and hope to people. About 5 years ago, I started praying this prayer. I said it in front of everybody on Wednesday nights. I said, Lord, give us the worst sinners in Marlton, the worst ones. And I don't know who's the worst ones. In Newark, New Jersey, I was in Newark for 13 years. People would bring their problems, whatever, right in front of you. They bring it right on the street. In Marlton, people don't bring it on the street. You have to kind of look for it. It's there, but you don't know where it's at. So we started praying, Lord, give us the worst ones. And we got a phone call about 2 weeks later, and it was a gentleman who left a voicemail. He goes, I want to talk to a pastor. And so I just called the guy back because that's what I thought you're supposed to do. You're supposed to call people back. And he goes, I left messages at 10 different churches. You're the only church that called me back. I thought that was pretty good. So we called him back. And I got talking on the phone. You know what he said to me? He goes, I am the worst sinner in Marlton. God is my witness. I quote, I'm not lying. He goes, I am the worst sinner in Marlton. I said, we need to talk. So I took him out to Champs. Does anyone remember Champs before Chicken and Pete's? Oh, come on. The nachos were incredible back in the day. Oh, my goodness. And then they kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller. That's why they closed down, ladies and gentlemen. Best nachos this side of the Mississippi. So we got talking. His name was Marco. He's since now has moved. I said, Marco, tell me your story. He goes, I'm the worst sinner in Marlton. Keep telling me. As I listened to him, ladies and gentlemen, he was the worst sinner in Marlton. I mean, it was bad. I mean, he would go down to Atlantic City, all this stuff. And God in his grace saved him. Oh, my goodness. God transformed his life. He did not have a relationship with God. Matter of fact, everybody that's born has a broken relationship with God. Yes, there is the ideal. This is what God's plan is for family, for marriage, for intimacy, for sex, for reproduction. Everything is found before Genesis chapter 3. You have to go back to truth. You say, John, we're in 2020. Well, you don't eliminate truth. But what you do, you try to bring healing and grace, forgiveness and the cross of Jesus, and let God do his work by his Spirit from the inside out. So that's, we don't hate anybody. Christian people don't judge anybody. We love people. We have love in our hearts, and truth sets people free. So this is what happened in Genesis chapter 3. This is what went wrong with the world. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why you go to funerals is because Adam and Eve sinned against God. I was born into sin. My human nature was sin. Dwayne Wade said his son, that is now converted to a girl, they said they saw something at age 3. My dad gave his life to Jesus Christ at age 5. I couldn't even remember what was happening at age 5.
I'm not even sure I can remember what happened at age 12.
High school, the best 8 years of my life. I had no idea. No clue. Just not very bright. My dad said, he says, he had like this upstairs like bunk. He said, the Spirit of God came upon his heart so much, the conviction of God that he was a sinner. Inside of him, he knew there was something wrong. And he had heard the gospel preached, the good news, that God loves people. God saves people. And the cross of Jesus, Jesus went to the cross and he died for sin. And my dad gave his life to the Lord and the Spirit of God came inside of him. If you raise kids, you're going to know that there's something wrong with your kids at age 4, 5, 6, or 7. You never have to teach them to do wrong. You never have to teach them to lie. Kids are bad, aren't they? We're all bad. Every kid does something wrong. They know it, and you know it. Or you can pamper them, act like there's no problem on the inside, but if you let that thing keep growing and growing, it just keeps getting worse. God can come on a young person's life at a very young age. They realize they're sinners, they're apart from God, and God loves them, and God can save them and set them free at a very young age. Matter of fact, we've been using this old school word. I'm just kind of bringing it back, that God wants to bring deliverance to people. We have been experiencing the last, 3 or 4 weeks, just total transformation in people's lives. People smoking pot, feeling addicted, they can't shake it. They can't shake it. Come to an altar, and God gives them release and relief and freedom in Jesus' name. We've been experiencing people smoking. They can't shake it, this addiction, and God giving deliverance, set people free. People addicted to alcohol or abuse on their own life, and God is setting people free. We got another email, somebody going through cancer, all these difficult things in their life, and God give healing in Jesus' name. We're almost bringing it back, ladies and gentlemen, the word deliverance. God has the power to deliver and set people free in Jesus' name. He does. He does. If you know, it's interesting, like the human nature. If you read the book of 1 Corinthians, the New Testament, it gives a list, like a laundry list of bad things that people do. Thieves, idolaters, sexually immoral. And it goes on to say, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, 12, men who have sex with men, women who have sex with each other. And the Bible says about the 1 Corinthians, but the people in Corinth were a mess. There was lawsuits in the church. People were suing each other. One person was having a sexual relationship with his stepmom. I mean, it was a mess. The whole thing was a mess. And you know what the Apostle Paul said? That's what some of you were. And God delivered people from the burden, the heartache, the sin that was upon them. And Jesus cleans them up and sets them free in Jesus' name. And what happens is you could be sitting here in your own prison. Your own prison of thought. You say, I feel like giving up. Is there a God? You're looking for, and Jesus comes. He opens up the prison doors and sets you free in Jesus' name. And we have been praying that God would set people free and bring deliverance to your life. You don't have to live with that bondage. Jesus sets people free. Do you remember the story of Jesus? When he died on the cross, he went down to the grave, and after 3 days on Sunday, Easter Sunday, he rose again. He conquered hell. You might be living in your own personal hell. He conquered sin. You got all that sin on you. He conquered the devil, everything. And he rose again victoriously. That same power is available for us in Jesus Christ. And you can be set free. Everybody in the house, you and your family can be set free. I'm telling you, it's God's grace. It's God's power. John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. There was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night. He was inquiring at nighttime. Said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one could see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. Everybody is born. My parents, Otto and Pat Wegner. I'm so grateful to God that my dad did not name me Otto. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, God, for my parents. Those are my parents. But my parents had a problem. They, too, had sin in their life. My grandparents, they, too, had a problem. All of humankind goes back to our first parents, Adam and Eve. Everyone who was born after Adam and Eve would die. It was never God's intention for us to die and be separated from God. So the first time I was born of the flesh, but I was also born again. You say, how can you be born again? Do you go back into your mom's womb? No, you're born of the Spirit. Your spirit is dead, and God makes it alive. And all of a sudden, everything kicks in spiritually, and you have a spiritual relationship with God. And what God wants to do is make it all come alive inside of your heart and your life. You can have a new relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. That's what real love is. You say, if you really love somebody, do you tell the truth? The answer is yes. We oftentimes have a problem with the truth. We don't want to admit it. I'm 47 years old. I have a problem with the truth. I still feel like I can play in the NBA. I can help out one team off the bench or something. Like, I look at, like, I know it's terrible. I'm having a hard time with the truth. The 76ers, I look at them, I'm like, okay, Ben Simmons is good. Joel Embiid, he's good, but like, they're kind of immature. If they bring me, I could come in there. I kind of like, I'll be the captain. I can help everything out and we can win the championship. I still have this thing in my head that we can do it. At some point, you have to come to the full truth. Sometimes people don't want to acknowledge that they have a problem with their physical body. Some people don't want to go to the doctor. Sometimes you have a problem with your kid. You don't want to deal with it. You sweep it under the rug. You have a problem with your marriage. You just don't want to bring it up. It's easier sometimes just to kind of go the way of a lie. And then down the road, it kind of comes up on you and sneaks up on you. I think each of us can say, well, God, is there anything that I need to deal with as far as truth on the inside? That's real love. The keyboardist can come. So I just got to tell you about my parents real quick. My parents have been married. We just celebrated their 53rd anniversary. So most people put like Valentine's Day of like romance, right? Pictures in center of like City Hall or the love sign in Philly or... It's romance. My parents don't have romance. They can't have romance. But there's so much love. There's different levels of love. There's romantic love, and then it goes all the way down to a sacrificial love that God has for us called agape love. My dad has that towards my mom. I called my dad this morning. He was going to preach in an inner city Spanish church this morning. I said, is mom coming? Mom coming. John, she's not doing good. If you knew my mom, ladies, if you ever saw my mom in the middle of what she, my parents always had a burden for inner city people. They had education, and my mom loved kids. That was her, she loved kids. And she would get like the whole gym would be full of kids, and they're all like, you know, just busy. My mom would get a microphone. And with sincerity of her heart, my mom was not perfect by any means. She would teach the kids how important they were to God. And she would sing a song. It's an old school song. She'd go, kids, listen. I am a promise. And she'd teach them, I am a possibility. I am a promise. With a capital P. And all the kids would be following my mom. I am a great big bundle of potentiality. And she was teaching all these kids that they're valuable to Almighty God. Deep in her heart. But my mom now, she weighs like 80 pounds, sleeps half the day, has to have all these people come in, balancing the meds. She has dementia. If you saw her, it'd be uncomfortable for you to see her. But back in the day, my mom was the best mom. My mom used to make Spam sandwiches. Come on, somebody. Talk about disgusting. I used to like it. You take a hamburger bun, put some of that Spam on there, you put it in the oven, come out, I have like 15 of them. Boom. Oh, my goodness. Boy, she supported my dad and all that he would do, raise kids. They were at my games. But, man, it's not the same anymore. It's not romance. But it's deep, sacrificial love for my mom. That's real love. The romantic love, I don't mean if you're in love, oh, enjoy it. Because there's moments that goes away. We want that. I like that. But it's hard to live there. I want that, Miriam. I want to know what love is. When we were dating, this is when the phones were attached to the wall. Does anyone remember those days? My wife and I, we started dating in January. We got married in August. Come on, somebody. Come on. If you like it, put a ring on it. You know, just 6 months. And we got it all right there. I used to sing to her on the phone late at night. You're the meaning in my life. You're the inspiration. I would stay like 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Today, 9:30. It's different, but this is always better. Strength in relationship is always better. Does God want us to enjoy life and have thrill and ride a roller coaster? Yeah. But my God will never leave you nor forsake you. At the worst moment of your life, our God will be there. I don't care. He loves you. You say, John, the thrills, the feel is kind of gone. Your body is wasting away. You say, but is God still good? The answer is yes. He's a good God. My dad is acting the greatest love I've ever seen, and he's just taking care of my mom. It's totally self-sacrificial for him, but he's loving on my mom, and part of that's taking care of her medical and all that stuff. He's showing the greatest amount of love. What I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is not feelings. I'm talking about a God that loves people so much. People are just so messed up in their hearts and their minds are so far from God, and God just kind of goes through all of that. Says, I love everybody. I don't care how people deepen their sin or what problems they have. God loves people. So I say, bring everybody. Honestly, I hope and pray that homosexuals come to our church. Transgender people come to our church. Thieves come to our church. People have broken lives, broken marriage. People are stuck on drugs. Anybody that has a problem, Jesus can give them deliverance. Amen? He can set them free. He can set them free. I've seen it. There used to be a guy in our church. His name was James. James used to hang out with these guys who rode motorcycles down the street. It's kind of tough in their city. They have 15 guys. But they would like intimidate everybody. Like women and children are running. I was running. And I thought he was kind of like rough. And all of a sudden, he used to sell drugs on the street corner. He had a problem with alcohol. He would always drink too much in the cops and bars and all that stuff. I remember God put him on my heart. I kept seeing him at ShopRite. I think it was ShopRite. I felt like God would just tell me to kind of go up to him, talk to him or whatever. And we just had this little connectivity. He came. He gave his life to Christ. The guy who would get so drunk, they would lock him up. Now he's a leader of the church. I mean, come on. I mean, it's just amazing what God can do. And this is not just for our church. It's when you go outside of the church, God will put something in your heart for lost people. People are so far from God. Our world is just so confused right now, but God has absolute truth. People have stepped out of what's right, but we can love on people. I saw a guy the other day at Panera Bread. I never go to Panera. It's way too expensive for like a little bit of stuff. You ever notice that's a little bit Panera? I was sitting there drinking my coffee, reading the Bible on the phone, and I felt like God said, I want you to go talk to that guy. I actually knew him from like 5-6 years ago. I want you to go talk to him. Like, I said, I don't want to go talk to him. You ever have a conversation with God? I don't want to. He's busy. He has his son there eating breakfast, a bagel. I was kind of watching him from a distance. Like, I'm trying to think of every excuse not to go. He's better than a bugle. So I feel like I care deeply about him. I care deeply about him. Yeah, but God, I don't know him. So I said, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get up. In my head, I'm like, if I stall with God, then he'll get up and leave. So I got up, and I was kind of go to the I went to the condiments. Like, I'm looking at the mustard. It's like 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm looking at the mustard, the ketchup. And he still stayed there. I'm like, would you just get up and leave? So finally, I just went up to, hey, my name is John. And my daughter played basketball, your daughter, a couple years ago. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And boy, he just started opening up about referees and the field house and all of this different stuff. It is amazing when we're led by the Spirit of God, how God can do it. And God will move upon your heart for people that desperately need him. We love people. We care deeply about people. But also, in truth, we must share the gospel. That's the only way. Unless a man be born again, they can't enter the kingdom of God. But we're really nervous and scared about all these different things that are really kind of easy things. But we're so scared or whatever, we kind of have to just go through and get to where people are and say, I want to reach people. You will be misunderstood. People aren't going to get you, why you believe in. But what I find is this. People get sick, people have issues, and they'll look to the church people. They have the answer and the hope and the grace of Almighty God. It's not about feelings. It's about say, Lord, here I am. Use me. I know that God can deliver people. In the Bible, there was a demoniac. He was so crazy, they had to chain him to the cemetery. The Bible says he was naked. His mind was crazy. And the chains that held him back, he kept breaking them. But they confined him to the cemetery. Could you imagine your family member being confined to the cemetery? He's so crazy, he lost his mind. Jesus came and delivered him, and he's walking around in his right mind. Ladies and gentlemen, there's people all around us. They're whacked out up here, and God wants to deliver them and set them free in Jesus' name. We need deliverance. That's an old-time word, but it needs to be kind of brought back around and say, Jesus, set my family free in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me in the Lord's presence? Will, what was the third song in our set? Let's sing that one. First, a man must be born again. Are you born again? Are you? Your family members, your network, are they born again? Secondly, people can be delivered from whatever binds their life. And God has put it on our hearts to pray for the worst. Pray for those who have bondage, those whose minds aren't right, those who are far from God. Say, God, you could do it. The Bible says it's not by might nor by power, but it's by his Spirit. Will you believe God? Will you believe God that God would do the impossible? You say, John, you don't understand my situation, my family, how bad it is. I want to tell you, it's not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. God can do it. If you'll present your need before God, if you'll believe God, God can do it. He is always good. Even when it doesn't see it, he's always good. And by you coming to this altar, you say, God, set me free or set my family free. There's people in this room right now. You say, oh, my dad, my stepdad, oh, they're just out there, John. My cousin, my neighbors, my dad, my step. People have this weight on them, and Jesus wants to give freedom. Jesus wants to give life and life to the full. It's love and truth. If not, Satan comes, and he's more than willing to tell you the lies. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants to set people free.